everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to welcome my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. Definitely getting into the swing of 2021 here.
Absolutely. And going to be a big year for podcasting as we've been on an upswing here for quite a while. Lots of new podcasters entering the space, and we want you to make sure that you're getting the most bang out of your buck. So make sure that you're listening to the show every episode, because we talk about news, we talk about some best practices. Sometimes we're even going to talk about bad practices, but
sometimes.
Some blueberry news this week and a question of the week. So no interview today. My interview got canceled, so I didn't have one to put in the bag. But if you want to be on Podcast Insider, if you want to tell your story and you want to get exposure to the bevy of people that listen to the show, just send us an email to Todd, Mike, or McKenzie at blueberry.com. That's blueberry.com. Had a guy yesterday I did an interview with, Mike, and he said, how do you spell your company? I said, well, it's blueberries without the E's. And he says, well, I'd like to know the story about that. I'm like, well, listen to our show.
Yeah, there you go.
So got a good lineup of stuff today. You would think when they made the top level domain .fm that all the radio stations in the country would race to get a .fm domain name. They're not cheap for an annual basis. But it appears the biggest sites of 2020 on .fm are podcast related.
Yeah, the number one for, you know, as far as traffic and use is Castbox.fm, which is a podcast app. And, you know, of course, Anchor's in there. There's just a whole bunch of them in the top, 100 hits, on .fm domains. And it's amazing that you see Captivate, Overcast, Fireside. There's just a ton of them out there.
Right.
That are using it. And yeah, you would think that the radio stations would, gobble up their call sign .fm, but that's not the case in a lot of radio stations.
No, it's not. And some of them, and many radio stations had their own websites long before the .fm top level domain came on board. So I'm sure that's part of it. So there was an announcement yesterday that the Latin Podcast Award registration is now open. So you're able to, if you have a Latin, I'm assuming this is going to include any Spanish speaking show.
Right. Spanish and Portuguese and, all that, but Latin America, Mexico, that area. There's a lot of information on the link there. And then, of course, we have the link right to the registration if you're interested.
And there's big changes ahead, and we don't have in the show notes, but I guess I can announce it here, the podcast awards that I run.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm making major expansion this year to it, and we're going to have 10 new categories. It's pretty exciting what we've got planned. We're mimicking almost exactly from a content category standpoint everything that's going on with Apple Podcast. Of course, we're going to be unique in all the awards platforms. We've got a category for LGBTQ. Of course, we got the People's Choice Awards, but we're adding some best this year. So best female hosted podcast, best male hosted podcast, best black hosted podcast, best Asian hosted podcast, the best Latin hosted podcast. So we're still kind of trying to figure out if we want to use, if that's the exact terminology we want to use for the Latin speaking or the Spanish speaking shows. And then we're going to really kind of shake it up, Mike, and we're going to have the ability for the nomination of the best podcast listening platform. So that makes 30 categories this year, 10 new ones, biggest expansion ever of the podcast awards and registration. If all goes well, if we get everything added, because I dropped this bomb earlier this week on the dev team, that is not Blueberry's dev team. It's my developer at One Technologies. I said, I need to add 10 categories and we need to be ready and a couple of things else we're doing. And so maybe on February 1st, we'll be ready to take registrations on that. Nice. So we'll talk about it next week. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll definitely talk about it next week. I really like the idea of the best podcast listening platform because there's so many new ones out there.
Yeah.
There's some cool ones coming from, Podcast Index and the developers over there. So yeah, very cool.
And in addition to, we're going to make them register just like everyone else. Plus, we're going to have some new sponsorship opportunities because this is going to cost a lot of money to add all that. In addition to, we're going to be doing two other things. We're going to, when podcasters register their shows, we're going to ask them, who is the biggest influencer of your podcast? In other words, what podcaster was the biggest influencer of your show? And we're going to basically honor five of those people from the registrations. And then when the podcast listeners are in their voting phase, we're going to ask them, which podcast is, again, same type of situation, is had the biggest influence on you. So we're going to have pretty big expansion of the awards this year. And again, a lot of it's podcaster and listener driven. It is the People's Choice Podcast Awards. So I think we're going to have a great lineup trying to cover as many bases as we can. I'm sure we've missed something. Again, I'll probably know within 2 days of opening up registration. So how come you didn't include us? But this is a big advancement. It's like, you know, another $8,000 to the budget for the podcast awards. But keep our fingers crossed here. That risk is on me personally. So it's, again, for those of you who don't know, podcastawards.com is run by yours truly and a small committee. I own it. It's not a Blueberry property. It's not sponsored by Blueberry. It's my deal, my money, just so everyone's, you know, full disclosure here.
Right, right.
But we lost one of the first celebrities that talked about podcasting.
Yep. Larry King passed away, I don't know, a week ago or something like that. But he was 87 years old, and he was the master of interviews. I mean, and he came up with the best advice that I still give out, you know, for anybody that does interviews, is don't have a bunch of written down questions for the interview. Ask a question and then actually listen to the answer. And that was, I think, the key that he did. And he did, you know, tens of thousands of interviews between radio and when he was on CNN, you know, and later on in podcasts and whatnot. So
did he never have any pre-prepped questions, or did he have a few to kick things off? Or
yeah, what? He had a couple, you know, little notes, he said, you know, but he didn't really write down a bunch of questions. He just let it go where it went. And a lot of times when you listen to the question, this is good advice for us podcasters, when you listen to the answer that you get from the interviewee, that may bring up another question to follow on. You know, so many times people have these written questions, and then when somebody gets done answering, they just ask another question and don't follow up on anything.
Yeah, they miss the obvious thing that you should follow up with.
Right, but Larry was definitely a master at that.
A lot of podcasters will listen to, at least ones that are doing their research, will listen to interviews of people that they're going to interview. And they look for those nuggets that were missed in the interview where the host did not take advantage and drill in on a specific point. So anyway, I think that's an interesting take, and it follows along with what, but Larry King just listened. You know, he really listened. He didn't just look at his notes while the person was spewing an answer.
And one of his famous quotes was, "I never learned anything when I was talking."
Well, that's a fact. This is very, very true. And as podcasters, we have a hard time shutting the heck up.
Yeah, I know. I have that problem from time to time.
Yeah. So I hear Apple has a unique job position open.
Yeah, they're looking for a podcast editor. And that's not so weird, but in Russia.
In Russia or in the United States for the Russia platform?
No, the job is in Moscow. So it's in Russia. And I assume they want somebody that's fluent in Russian, guessing. But anyway, that was over at PodJobs. So check that out. We have a link to it. I thought, you know, it might be interesting, you know, if anybody is in Russia or wants to move there, you might want to work for Apple there.
Yeah. So here's an interesting commentary. And I think you've got an opinion on this, and I might weigh in too. Podcast One owner thinks the future of podcasting is video.
We've heard that before.
And we do video here.
Yeah, you know, we do video, and, you know, there is a potential there, you know, because right now everybody's got all their eggs in the YouTube basket. So, right. You know, I kind of agree, but also podcasts, as far as me as a listener, I think of it as an audio platform. I can put it in my ears and I can go for a walk. I can go drive. I can wash the dishes, clean the house, shovel, you know, dig ditches, whatever. I can listen to a podcast and there's no visual to it that I need to look at. And I think that's the charm of podcasting. But again, you know, video, and you could deliver video by podcasting just like you can deliver audio. And there's nothing wrong with that. But to build your business on it, he's saying it's going to be a, you know, $2 to $3 billion a year business in 5 years because of video. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, I guess maybe YouTube does that, but we've got all our eggs in that basket at YouTube. So maybe it is time for video to take off, but It's been tried before. You remember Pod Show, and then when the angel investors came in or the venture capitalists came in and started to run the place, they, well, let's pivot to video. That's a big thing.
Right.
And then they go poof, and they're gone. They're not podcasters anymore. They're not there anymore. And I really believe that trying to pivot audio podcasting to video isn't necessarily a good plan, but adding video to, you know, we're doing a video component right here. You know, we're live on all the usual suspects, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the primary purpose of this podcast, even though it's on video, is an audio podcast.
Right.
And I just don't know if that's a great business model or not. But of course, we do video here at Blueberry. So, you know, you're free to do a video podcast here, and just know that it takes a lot more space, a lot more bandwidth, but it's doable.
So, you know, I think the thing about their idea that video is the future of podcasting, my point of view when I started doing video 10 years ago was largely because I was doing a solo show and I was getting lonely and not having any I would get email interaction from the audience. But the simple fact that I would have, it didn't have to be a lot, a dozen people that were watching the live stream. And this was when I was in Hawaii and I was recording 8 p.m. Hawaiian, and that would be 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. So very few people in America were awake, but my Australian listeners were awake, and they were the ones who were coming in and making commentary about the live. So for me, the live portion of the show was purely, quite frankly, to keep me entertained and to be able to talk to the audience a little bit. So it made an interesting dynamic. But at the same time, we have to really, really make podcasters understand that if you're going to do video, you need to put a little stick-em note on your computer monitor or whatever you look at beyond your microphone that reminds people that they're listening. Most of the audience is listening. And if you show an image, like I'm going to switch to Mike. Mike can't see that I just switched to him because he just sees the master view. But if I switch to Mike and I start describing, okay, Mike, if I now say, well, I love that picture on the back of your wall, well, the audio audience has no clue, because if I had not been doing video, I'd say, and I'd seen this, I said, Mike, you got a nice picture behind you. Looks like you've got a University of Michigan hat. Maybe some, you know, little cartature going on there. That is descriptive to the audio audience to understand what I'm referencing. So I have to remind myself all the time. And I catch myself, because I'm so used to doing video now, I catch myself not following my own rules. And my audience then tells me, hey.
Yeah, we didn't see that.
Dummy, I don't know what you're talking about. And I didn't have time to go look through, you know, your hour and 10 minute show to find out exactly where, so I could see what you're talking about. So I think the future of podcasting has a video component.
Right, for sure.
To this, but it is an interesting thought process. Live video is big. We just know live people are doing it. Gamers are doing it on Twitch. YouTubers are doing stuff. So the video is big, but podcasting is, to truly define it as a podcast, is to put the video feed in an RSS enclosure. We don't do that for this show. We just only produce an audio show. We go live on the internet and leave it there, but we don't. Now, my personal show, I have a video RSS feed, and you can subscribe to that and actually get video on your mobile device that comes from a podcast delivery.
And it's really cool on the Apple TV. If you want to watch video, you know, you can subscribe to a video podcast on an Apple TV, and I think there's some Roku apps and other things like that, and watch it just like you'd watch any other streaming service. It's kind of cool.
Or watch it like you watch a YouTube video.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And there's cost associated with video too, because it's a much, much bigger file. So anyway, that's kind of my commentary on the video thing. Let's talk about a best practice. And it's interesting, Mike, you put in here, bad podcasting advice. How do you know who to trust?
And that's a hard one, because I know you brought that up on social here this week, concerning Clubhouse and all that. But there's some bad advice out there and people just go with it. I don't have specific examples, but I deal with it all the time. You know, I'm told, you know, well, they told me I have to use FeedBurner. Well, okay, maybe that's great advice in 2006, but not so much anymore.
You know, Clubhouse, there's a lot of people getting a lot of value out of Clubhouse.
Oh, definitely. And there's some good people there.
That's right. But it's, I would say that based on my time I've hung out there, 80% good and 20% bad. But when it's bad, it's bad.
I think the thing I look for when, you know, when I'm looking for advice on something, not just podcasting, but just something in general, is what's the motivation of the person giving me the advice? Are they trying to sell their $3,000 course, or are they generally just trying to be helpful? Or, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting paid for good advice, but how do you know it's good?
Oftentimes what we see, and this goes in cycles, and I think what we're seeing here is because of Clubhouse, another cycle, and it's almost like a sine wave. We see people that have started a show, done dozen episodes, not had success in building a show or building an audience, and then saying, well, I can't do that, but I know a lot about podcasting, so let me become a podcast consultant.
Yeah.
So we often then end up with the situation where the consultant is calling us for help. You get that all the time, Mike. They call you and you're like, you're a consultant for podcasters and you're calling me, asking me this.
When I get a phone call and I hear my client, that's all I got to hear. And then it's like, oh boy. Because, you know,
some of those calls are legitimate, but some of those are also podcast 101 things that this person, if he is going to be a consultant and expert, should know. Now, I did an interview, as I said yesterday, with a guy that's had huge success. He built a show, sold it. He's helped a number of shows launch, get significant listenership. He's got a pretty good plan. I think this guy has got the chops. I didn't know him before yesterday. And it, to me, it sounded like he had his act together. But if I hadn't talked to him for an hour and kind of got some feedback and kind of heard his processes and stuff, I would not have been able to say I trust this person to have authority. So oftentimes, you as a podcaster, if you're getting advice from someone, note it and then validate and verify.
Yeah,
and
check it out.
Surf that information around a little bit. When in doubt, and it's real easy now to ask questions. If you're part of our Blueberry Facebook group, there's a lot of great podcasters in that group, and oftentimes they respond to questions before we do. You can join the Blueberry Facebook group, and when you're in there, if you have a question or a doubt or you've gotten some advice, then run it by us. Now, there are no rules in podcasting, but if, as an example, if someone told you, and it's this is a case I've heard of bad advice, where it was a show that was going to be doing talking about the law. As a lawyer, he's going to be talking about law in general terms, things that are out there that are going on. He's not an ambulance chaser. He's not one of these guys that's in a local community that's got a billboard. He's just a lawyer that's part of a firm doing a podcast to build awareness about legal and law. And the advice he was given was you should and this is the quote, you should 1,000% focus on building your audience local. You will not get a global audience. Well, that is absolutely absurd.
Oh, sure, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, if you're doing Seattle today, yeah, you're going to focus on marketing in the Seattle market. But you also have to understand there's expats, and expats could be people that live outside their local. They might be down in LA, but they want to know what's going on in the hometown. Seattle's your hometown. They may tune into Seattle today. So you're still going to build a global audience. But the bad thing was that person was backed up by four other people that was on that panel. I just wanted to pound my head into a concrete wall because you know, screaming no. I was driving at the time, so I really couldn't participate. So it's that kind of thing. So make sure if you're a new podcaster, you're seeking advice. If you are a Blueberry hosting customer, I give free consults. I do 5 a week. I spend 30 minutes with you, and Mike does checkups too.
Do a lot of consulting for customers of ours, and sometimes they ask questions that aren't technical in nature. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm the be-all, end-all of podcast advice, but been around here a while.
And so, you know, I'll go through and we'll talk and give you some ideas and I'll review your website. I don't even half the time even have to listen to your content. We just start with the fundamental stuff and make sure you're doing all that and we can dig in. So anyway, just be careful and validate information you're getting out there. It's hard to know who to trust. And if it's followed up with a, by the way, now the same goes for us. If I'm on Clubhouse, I'm going to be talking about the way we do podcasting and I'm going to definitely be a pro Blueberry customer, but I'm going to disclose that. I'm going to say, hey, I'm the founder of Blueberry Podcasting, or Mike's going to say, I'm the head of technical support. Yeah, we're going to disclose our affiliations. And oftentimes in some of these instances, people are not. And I heard one instance where one individual was talking about a product or service. Another person came in, basically said, yeah, this was fantastic. Turns out that person was an employee and didn't disclose they were an employee. So they were backing up their boss without even saying, hey, by the way, I'm an employee over here. So
yeah, we'll always disclose when we're in a non-blueberry forum here.
That's right. So anyway, that's our best practice is just be careful and get good advice. There's a lot of great advice. Don't get us wrong. Just be careful. If your head cocks or you get a hair that stands up in the back of your neck or doesn't quite smell right.
Get a second opinion.
Get a second opinion. Yep. And we'll take your email and respond to it the best we can too. All right. So let's talk about a little news. Big day yesterday.
Launched our play tracking and added that to our advanced stats product. And for those of you that get a lot of web play on your website, there's some great information in there.
Some of you may find, now again, the way the play tracking data works is if you have been using the Blueberry player that we provide in PowerPress or via the podcast dashboard at blueberry.com, been using either one of those for a significant amount of time, we've been tracking when people click play, stop, scrub forward, how long they listen, when they stop. And we finally brought that data into Advanced Stats and are displaying it for you. Some of you might find that data thin.
Or non-existent.
Or maybe non-existent. If it's on the episode level, you have to go to the episode view of your stats and look at the Advanced Stats pull down. And what you're going to see is, you know, how much traffic is being played or how much your podcast is being played on your website. For me, I had two instances. Geek News Central, my primary tech show, my listens were pretty good. I had a decent number. Now it's still, again, maybe 3, 4, 5%, 7%.
Yeah, it's not going to be a total picture.
Right. But it gives me a little view. Whereas the new media show that I do with Rob, there was almost no data there because it's reaching a podcast audience and all the podcasters are subscribed. They're not coming to the website to subscribe to the show. Whereas my tech show, they were coming to the website consuming there as well as subscribing. So the data is going to vary customer to customer. But at the same time, they say, maybe I've got an opportunity here to promote on the show. As a reminder, you can always listen to the show at your.com, it's your website to be able to consume it. And it may be something some of you've never done. And if you start doing that, maybe start getting a few views from someone that's browser based. And I think folks that may be a little less technological inclined, maybe also inclined to go to the website. Now they could do this via mobile phone or on just a regular desktop. It doesn't matter which browser they get there and they hit play.
We find that the web plays are higher on faith-based shows because, you know, a lot of that audience skews a little older. They know how to use a web browser.
Right.
And that's how they listen. But your mileage will vary because, you know, like I said, my particular shows as well, none of those are consumed very much on the website itself. And so I don't have a lot of data there, but it may be different for you. And, you know, it's similar to what some of the other big player apps will show you as well, you know. So, you know, you get a little piece here, a little piece there. And eventually you'll get to see a picture. What I like is, you know, say everybody listens to 5 minutes before you're done and then they cut out. Well, you're doing something at that point in your podcast that's letting them know that you're about to end and they don't need to listen anymore or something. You know, it just gives you insights into what you're doing within your content.
So again, this is combined with the retention tracking, basically the data that we're giving you from what we're seeing in the raw log data when people are actually clicking play and leaving when they're in whatever device. And then we're giving you this new play tracking for what's happening specifically in a player. Now, we do have an API. So if anybody wants to build into this, they're more than welcome to add to the data set. We can set data from apps, data from different players. So if you're one of the devs out there and you want to get your tracking data back into our system so Blueberry customers can consume that, it's all anonymized. It's private. There's GDPR. There's no identifiable information for listeners. It's just purely the data of what's going on when someone does click play and then hit stop or maybe listen all the way through currently on a web player. But we can accept API information from third-party sources as well. Mike, let's move into question of the week.
Yeah, the question that I got, I get this quite a bit, but podcast subscriber numbers, you know, a lot of people wonder why we can't show them a number. So basically, subscribers is kind of an impossible statistic to show accurately. Various apps use completely different ways to subscribe or follow or, you know, whatever they call it in that app. And there's a lot of different timing. So even within Apple Podcasts, I could set my phone to hit you once an hour, where Todd, you might set yours to hit every 3 hours. So we can't just say, okay, from this IP address, we've got 24 hits to the RSS feed. So is that 24 subscribers? No, that's one phone hitting you 24 times. And just suffice it to say, all that data is a little hard to track, and there's nobody out there that can give you an accurate subscriber number across the entire podcast space. Now, like, you know, we're talking about play tracking. We could tell you how many people play because we own the player, you know. And same thing with, you know, Apple. They can tell you how many people use their app and all that, but we don't get that data in stats, and only Apple, you know, shows what they want about that. But there's a couple ways to do a really good guess on how many subscribers you have. Within the Blueberry stats, you just pick an episode that's, say, 30 days old. And then once you pick that, go to the distribution and just add up the numbers from podcatchers and mobile apps. And chances are that's a pretty close description of how many subscribers you have. I call it a good guess.
I think too, Mike, is I've always said is you look at the first 24 hours. And so if you look at the number of downloads you've had in the first 24 hours, and there'll be some people that have intermixed that aren't subscribed in there. But really what happens is about the time you hit publish in your RSS feed updates, we often see podcatcher apps hitting that like very, very quickly, especially if, you know, a person's on a mobile phone, on Wi-Fi. So usually within 24 hours, all the podcatcher apps will have downloaded. Those apps that do that will have automatically downloaded the show. But the thing to also remember is, as on many podcasting apps, if someone has stopped listening to your show and they went 4, 5, 6 episodes, many of the apps stop automatically downloading the podcast. Matter of fact, Apple Podcasts will say, do you want to resume downloading these shows? And you say yes, but so that means you've really been, from your phone, you've not been counted on many of those episodes because you quit listening. So that's actually a good thing for podcasters. But I've always also used that 24-hour window just to kind of get a little finger in the wind to see what that is.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you're not going to get an exact number. You're not going to say, I got 1,247 subscribers.
Right.
But mostly in stats, what you want to track is how many downloads you had per episode. And that gives you kind of the idea of your reach and whether that's going up or down.
Well, you know, I think the problem with that a little bit too, Mike, is I have episodes based on topic go up and down.
Sure.
So I tend to look at the trending line, month to month trending line. My personal show has been trending down a little bit. I've got a little work to do. So I've watched over the last couple of months, it's trended down a little bit. So I have to work on getting the trend line, you know, moving back up. So we all see these ebb and flows of our audience, but I think that as long as you're producing, this is another thing you got to be careful of. So I said, oh, I trended bad in month X. Well, then I remembered I was off for 3 episodes.
Right.
So of course my numbers were down.
And that doesn't mean you should do a daily show to get more downloads.
No, but at the same time, it was really, you know, that little dip that I saw in that one month. I said, oh yeah, I was off. So don't forget about that and maybe keep a notebook of when you take time off so that you don't get all of a sudden get freaked out because your trending line is down. But yeah, you're right, Mike. You said in your notes here, look at the trending day to day and you'll see spikes on the first day. It goes like a hockey stick for most shows.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a ski jump.
Yeah. Ski jump might be the better way to put it, but there's usually not the hump at the bottom. It's usually a hockey stick on its side and then the spike up and then down it goes.
Right.
But you really, the goal is too, is to build that longevity in the shows because, you know, my show, 96 hours, it's burned. It's just because I do a new show. Now, the new media show gets good long tail, but most shows don't. And, you know, and that's something to look at too. Look at how an episode is done in month 2 or month 3 or month 12 to get an idea what kind of staying power your episodes
get. Yeah, I mean, some topics lend themselves to long tail. You know, I always think of Mignon's show, Grammar Girl. I mean, she's the queen of long tail podcasts. She's got stuff from, you know, 2006 that are still getting decent downloads.
Not decent. Yeah. Amazing downloads. Right. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. So. They have built an incredible library of content that spans 13, 14 years that episodes get as almost as many downloads in year 13 as they did in month one. You know, on a month-to-month basis, they get huge numbers. It's just, it's the ultimate evergreen content. So anyway, Mike, Saturday, what's going on with Podcast Help Desk?
I'm going to get a little geeky. We're going to dig into pull versus push and, you know, just basically how podcasting works on a technical level, not how to grow an audience or anything, but just the mechanicals of it. So if you're into that geeky stuff, come join me Saturday afternoon. You'll probably see it hit your feed.
All right. And of course, subscribe to the Podcast Help Desk at podcasthelpdesk.com. If you're not subscribed to this show, my goodness, you're missing out.
Yeah, we got
to
do that.
Yeah, go over to podcastinsider.com. That'll land you on the page where the podcast and blog is at. You can see the easy way to subscribe right in the right-hand column of the website. And we want you to stay abreast of what we've got going on. Get you in, get you out once a week real quick. But if you have a question or feedback, you can click on the leave a voicemail on the sidebar of podcastinsider.com. You can record your question and we may answer it on the show. So that actually ties into our phone system now. It's pretty slick.
Yeah, so far it's working pretty well. I've got a few questions over there. Some were more urgent than than we wanted to do on the show here. But yeah, definitely leave a recording over there or send us an MP3 of yourself asking a question. We'll be happy to answer it and play it on the show.
We had one come in from Peter K that was only 4 seconds. So Peter, if you're trying to leave us a message, we missed it. It was in the system, but it was just 4 seconds, so I don't know if you hung up or what. But all right, if you want to be on the show, if you want to have your show highlighted and talk about your story about your podcast, Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. Of course, if you want a 30-day free trial of Blueberry Podcasting Services, you can use the promo code INSIDER and share that with your friends, families, and anyone that's thinking about doing a podcast. If you're a podcaster, sign up for affiliate programs so you can have your own promo code. And that way you can make money off the show. We don't make any money off Insider, but if you have your own promo code, you can make money. Don't forget about our Blueberry Pro services. Our pro production team here is producing this show. You like what you hear and the style of the editing and what they do. They've got a whole line of services at blueberrypro.com. Did I miss anything, Mike?
No, I think you got it covered.
All right. Well, we want to thank you all for being here with us today. Thanks for hanging out. And we'll see you next week here on Podcast Insider. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time.
Catch you next week. Bye-bye.